You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Stardom Road Podcast here on the Countout Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Trent Brewer. Trent, we're back again for another episode. This time, it's a lot of fun for us. We made it simple this time, which is fun.
Yeah, all the other episodes we do, they're painful, they're difficult to do. We hate them with a passion, but this one's fun. That's the impression I'm getting from you, Scott.
But this one's fun. This one is five-star Grand Prix specific, because obviously this weekend the five-star Grand Prix does start in Stardom, so it's very fitting that we talk our favorite five-star matches through the years. We're going to both give our top fives, include some honorable mentions in there as well. Should be a lot of fun. But before we get there, I do want to say, because I'll forget to say this later, and I don't want to forget to say this later, me and Trent will be taking the rest of the month off following this episode. There will be no Stardom Road until September because, like I said, the five-star Grand Prix is starting. It is so many days, so many hours. So we want to, if we're going to do a topic for the show, we want to devote our time to that topic and be able to enjoy talking about that topic. I know we just had the little rib at the beginning, but no, we enjoy doing the show. We enjoy giving the right information. But with so much wrestling coming up in the next 21 days, we thought, all right, let's take a few episode break. We'll be back fresh in September and it'll be a lot better that way, I think.
Have you seen this schedule coming up?
I know.
We like to do Stardom Road properly, which basically means we don't want to half-ass these episodes. We don't want to come in and be like, yeah, we didn't watch what we're talking about, so we're just kind of going purely off memory. We want to actually do the research. We want to watch matches that we're talking about. We want to actually be able to bring you the content properly. And we can't do that with this five-star schedule. Because we want to watch the five-star Grand Prix. We want to actually be able to take everything in. And when we've got shows literally every second night and they're happening live, and especially in Scott's case, he can't watch them live because he's sleeping. So he's got to wake up and then consume them. And then, it's Scott, so he's going to be doing a whole bunch of content surrounding it. I will probably be lazy and not do that, but that's beside the point. But it's just not feasible for us to then do deep dives into Stardom's history. We're going to be entrenched in the here and now for Stardom over the course of the next month. So it's, please understand, it's just not viable for us to then do the proper Stardom Road content. We'll come back in September and do the proper Stardom Road content then, providing we survive the five-star Grand Prix. Spare a thought for the wrestlers doing it and spare a thought for the people watching.
Yeah, it's 12 shows in 21 days. We thought, all right, then that means we're having no shows in 21 days. I think that's a fair trade. they make up for it, but we'll be talking about it. If you want to hear from us regarding the current five star, it's not hard to find us. We're around. I'm always around, unfortunately. But I'll be reviewing every single day of the five star one way or the other. I'm sure me and Trent will probably talk somehow with Ryan about it in the near future as well. So it should be a lot of fun. But we just wanted to let you know that the Stardom Road, we'll be going off road for a little bit. We'll just,
we're pulling up on the side. There's a gas station there. We're going to pull up, refill the engines because we're going to be running dry over August.
Yeah. I'm already tired thinking about it and the thing hasn't even started yet. So,
We love the five-star Grand Prix. It's our favorite tournament of the year. But the moment they announced the schedule, we've both kind of been dreading it because of just how intense it's going to be. We've grown up on the Stardom tournaments being like fairly long, and I know people complain like, oh yeah, 2 months, they're a long time, you get confused about what's going on. It makes it easy when it's just a couple of matches a week that you have to watch.
Yeah, that plus the fact that everyone's live too, so it's like, oh, I have no excuse. I gotta watch this ASAP. I can't, like,
it's a blessing and a curse.
Oh, it is. Like, I can't give myself a buffer. Yeah. Now I won't get spoiled on anything, which is really cool. But like, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, like that buffer some days. You know, like some weekends where I was like, oh, here we go. It was like, all right, you know, 3-4 days, then it's uploaded. This is not the same case, but. That's why we are taking the time. We want to enjoy the tournament the best we can. Obviously, we're wishing all the best to the 28 wrestlers competing in that span. It's going to be a grueling tournament. And we are here to celebrate the past of the Five-Star Grand Prix with our favorite matches from the tournament's history. There's been a lot of great ones, obviously. Mm. The great shows come with, you know, the great shows, the great moments, the great matches, they all come together. I think for me, I know there's going to be a lot of recency bias, and I went back and watched a lot of Five Stars because I felt the need to, but you know, some of these past few years have just been incredible, absolutely incredible wrestling, often landing in my top 10 comfortably for matches of the year, and they're usually higher than 10, I'll tell you that. So this should be a fun conversation. We'll also give some honorable mentions after number two, because we don't want to spoil each other's picks as we go along here. But yeah, like Trent said, the Five-Star Grand Prix is our favorite tournament. So it's only right.
Triangle Derby doesn't rate in the top two or three for me, unfortunately. Not yet anyways. Give it time. We might find it jumping up there. It's got to settle.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that one. That'll be a fun episode years down the line when it's like, ah, I guess we'll do this. Anyways, are you ready to get right into it? Do you want to talk a little bit about like your experience with the Five Stars as a whole? Obviously, you know, you've gone from the days where none of it was live to now it's going to be completely live. So obviously that's a difference, but just your overall experience of witnessing these tournaments and the greatness that has come from them.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, you know, it's gradually gotten live-er in the sense that when I started watching Stardom, we didn't even get like the opening night and the final night getting these live pay-per-view treatments. It just, when it got loaded up to Stardom World, you watched it. And if you wanted to avoid spoilers, you just didn't go on Twitter. And you hoped that any of the social media or the forums and Reddit and stuff that you used were kind to you and didn't blatantly spoil it. Or, you know, sometimes Stardom World uploaded so slowly, you forgot who won certain matches. And so when they finally got uploaded, you're like, oh, that's right, X won this match, which kind of in a reverse way kind of worked out well. It's just this time of year is always fun because it's not just Stardom running the Five-Star Grand Prix. Every Japanese promotion basically runs their summer tournament. So it is kind of that vibrancy, the tournament season in Japan. You pick your favorite promotion, your second favorite promotion. They're running some sort of tournament. But Stardom always kind of felt special. And every year felt kind of bigger than the last. And I noticed for me sort of, you know, working out short lists for trying to work out my favorite matches in this tournament. Like every year as I started going through the list and stuff, it felt like I was finding more matches and more matches each year. It's like, oh, yeah, this year had some real good ones and just kept building and building and building.
Yeah.
And there's certainly some recency bias, but it just feels like each year it becomes a bigger and bigger spectacle. You know, with maybe the exception of 2020 where they were kind of having to rebuild on the fly.
Yeah.
There was just, it just always becomes a bigger deal. It's going to be interesting this year, just, you know, they've revamped the tournament completely. It's going to be fun in a lot of ways to see how it compares and contrasts. Yeah, it's got the live factor, the four blocks, the more competitors, just to see how it compares to the tournaments of yore. But yeah, so many good matches. Trying to just build a short list in of itself was difficult. You know, coming in with certain biases, certain wrestlers I kind of wanted to see make the list, certain matches that have emotional attachment versus objective preference and subjective preference. very difficult just keeping it to five. Even when we're talking honorable mentions, it's going to be difficult just keeping it short. But yeah, this was a fun list to narrow down.
It was. It's one of the most fun topics we've done. We haven't even got to talk about it yet, but that's how much I really did enjoy doing it. Mm. I think the beauty of going back is like, just, you know, 2021 and 2022 are like two of the greatest tournaments I've ever watched. Truthfully, like I was going through my like old like sheet of like every single tournament match for both those years, and I was like, there's just never going to be a tournament like this again. There really isn't, because like I think the roster is still amazing, and you know, there's some great blocks, but you had like three or four great matches every single show almost. And you know, when it went to a cork in or something, it was just amazing. Obviously you had all-timer runs in those tournaments. You're gonna get a lot of 2021 2022 on my list. I just absolutely adore those years. I think they're like I said, two of the best tournaments ever done. To have those go back to back and the stories that they told through that, it's really what I think is prime stardom, are these two tournaments. Yeah. So I wanted to respect that as much as I could, because I think a lot of people these days while watching stardom kind of think back to those times and like, man, those were the days, you know. Not to say anything bad about current, but that it's been like this since last year. This isn't even just a this year thing. That
I think most people acknowledge 21-22 to be kind of peak stardom. For at least the modern era. And yeah, it's also difficult to rewatch older five-star Grand Prix just because access is difficult, which does lend a certain bias to the modern stuff as well when doing this kind of content.
That plus the roster tradition thing. Like, you just had two of the best rosters ever, you know. 2021's an interesting one because it listed the 20-minute time limits for that tournament, plus you were doing the 20 person blocks, and then you had the, or 20 total. And then you had maybe someday
blocks,
maybe someday. And maybe then
not. Let's not do that.
I would hope not. Unless it's a year tournament.
Can you imagine if they did four blocks like they do this year?
Oh, gee.
20 Perth.
There's not enough wrestlers for that. And then you had the 2022, which flipped back to 15, but was 26 wrestlers in two blocks. You brought in the likes of Suzu Suzuki and Risa Sarah, adding to what was already a loaded roster to begin with. Yeah, so I'm just very excited to talk about this. I love the five-star Grand Prix. My excitement levels are getting back up there. You know, you can, whatever way you feel about current stardom and hate and all the stuff that comes with it, it's the five-star Grand Prix. It's
you forgot to get the fringe ready to
I know. Stardom. We were supposed to wear all black for this. I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got it.
I'm in the mood.
But we need to wear some makeup. Wait. I could do the Sayakamitani heel thing. All right, nailed it. Anyways, I stuck out my tongue. That's the heel thing. And do the eye and the tongue. No, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to it. Trent.
Wonderful audio content for the people who are.
I like to think people enjoy watching us, but if they don't, I understand why. It's because we're sticking out our tongues and doing the eye thing. But let's get to it. Trent's number five goes first here. That, of course, is Hana Kimura versus Kagetsu from the 2017 five-star Grand Prix.
You can have your 2021s and your 2022s, but I'm taking it back. I'm taking it slightly old school, going back to 2017. This is when I was starting to get back into. This is, I don't hate. I'm going back to the golden era of Oedo Tai, and there's nothing more golden than when Tam Nakano was just about to join the group. This is like, honestly, this is one of the greatest moments in this faction's history. Mm-hmm. You know, Hana Kimura was on the verge of winning the tournament. And Kagetsu said to her in the pre-match promo, because this isn't just a match. This is,
yes,
objectively, this is a fine match. You know, probably shouldn't be in the top five all time, but it's not just the match. It's everything surrounding it. The pre-match promo when Kagetsu says, "We are making you win the tournament for Awedo Tai." She said, "I'm going to lay down for you." They come out to the ring together. They're holding hands. They're in the corner. Daichi's like trying to force them to have to stand opposite. Getsu lays down, and then, yeah, it's classic Awedo Tai. I'm not letting you win that easily. And you got Chris Wolf, you know, standing outside, doesn't know who she's meant to actually second, because Awedo Tai is not quite a full unit at this point. And then the whole point of this match, yes, they want Hana Kimura to win the tournament, move on, but it's part of a grander story where Kagetsu, and, you know, Kagetsu does this during the red belt reign as well, doesn't want Hana to win just by winning, wants Hana to prove herself worthy, to prove herself ready. And the match suddenly becomes a proving ground and a testing point for her. And through the course of this match, it becomes this great sort of fight and war between these two Awedo Tai members. And it's just something magical begins to unearth from a jokey start, you know, classic Awedo Tai. And it just evolves into a fight, and it's emotional. You know, subjectively, this is one of my most memorable matches in Stardom history. Mm-hmm. Does it stack up to the 20-minute classics of 2021 in terms of technical wrestling? Maybe not. But in terms of a pure storytelling match,
yeah,
from beginning to end and everything that happens, you know, Tam Nakano is watching what goes on here, and at the end, you know, Hana's, her heart breaks by what goes on here, but then Kagetsu is like, no, this is what needs to happen. And Tam comes out and says, I see what goes on here. I want to join you guys. And so the golden era of Awedo Tai can truly begin from this moment. It's such a special match. And it is one of the, around this time, I was fully invested in Stardom, and it was this kind of match that told me I'm in for the long haul. And this is, yeah, this is the promotion I need to be following over New Japan Pro Wrestling, not as well as over New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it's why it's number five for me.
Yeah, this is a fantastic match. It's one of the ones that I love, that when I went through the long history, I watched this one, and understanding the story and what they go for, it is, it's so Stardom. And I have a match on this list that I will talk about later that is similar in fitting the Stardom mold. Yes, you have great, I think you have the great wrestling that you may look for in terms of the actual wrestling
match.
Yeah, but still, it's about the story that just lifts it to another level. When I saw you put this on the list, it made me very happy, because it was one of the ones that I was debating on my list, and I was like, okay, we have it represented. That's what matters to me. I was like, we have it represented. And I think this is a match that, if you have full appreciation for Hana and Kagetsu in that Awedo Tai era, you'll really love this match. It's really special. The story, again, like I said, they tell is just excellent. And it's easy to pick up because they tell you the story within the however long that clip is on Stardom World.
Yeah, from the pre-match promo, it's all English subtitled. You can just, like, you don't need to know the story going in. You can just chuck on the Stardom World match, and the story gets laid out for you in English. So it's great to just chuck on. You know, if you're watching this, you've never seen it, you can watch it from start to finish. You get what's going on. They even say Hunter's in the prime position to win the tournament. Yeah, you don't have to watch the tournament to know what's going on. Obviously, if you've watched from the beginning of the tournament, you kind of see, like, oh, Hana's getting close. Yeah. And, like, at this point, she's not a rookie, but, like, she, you know, her winning the tournament would be a bit of a surprise at this point and be quite a big deal. But, yeah, it's just, it's Stardom storytelling at its best. They don't always go all in with this kind of storytelling.
Uh-huh.
But it feels like whenever they do, this moment here, Queen's Quest versus Awedo Tai in January 2018, Queen's Quest versus Awedo Tai in the Steel Cage match, and like the Cosmic Angel Stars breakup is another great example. When they go all in with this kind of thing, it's some of just like the most memorable stuff that Stardom does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great way to start our list. Now, mine will pivot away from the story, and it's all about dropping bombs. That was Shuri versus Takumi Iroha from the five-star Grand Prix 2021 on the final night, 20-minute time limit draw. If you said at the beginning of this night that Shuri would go 20 minutes, 20-minute classic with Takumi Iroha, and then do what she had to do later that night, I don't think anyone could believe you what she would do on that night. But for me, it's the two-part story that makes this match so great. This is, like I said, this is bomb after bomb. The first 10 minutes, it's like, all right, we'll do the feel each other out, technical stuff, you know, grappling. That last 10 minutes, I've watched it back recently. It's as good as it was back then. It is two of the best strikers in the game. This is when Takumi just came back from her injury, but she was still at the top of her game in many ways. And this was the end of the tournament, so she was really feeling it by then. And this is godlike Shuri. You can't top her at this point. And when, as you watch those 20 minutes on one of the best stardom shows ever, which is that five-star final 2021, you're just amazed at what these two are able to accomplish after eight matches going into this, right? They had wrestled eight matches throughout the tournament. We're heading into this grueling final night, and it goes to the buzzer. And you're like, man, like, that was one of those matches that I remember ended. I was like, just keep going. Like, who cares? Like, the 20 minutes flew by for me. Sometimes when you go to a time limit draws, you feel it. This was they perfectly crafted it for those 20 minutes. And this was number five was heavily debated for me, as you'd expect, because it's the last spot. But I was like, this was part of the Shuri story that I just love so much. It's one of my favorite natural stories through a tournament that I've seen. And I just had to go with the bombs. I just had to take the bombs. These two dropped bombs left and right, kicks in the skulls, strikes. Everything I think you love about Joshi, that is what this match is.
Spoiler alert, this won't be the last time Shuri appears, which probably surprises nobody watching this. But this match, I think you bring up a very important point. Crafting time limit draws is very difficult to do, and we've seen a lot of great matches falter because they spend too much time trying to do the first half of the match carefully because they're conserving energy, and that first half just goes too slowly and it doesn't quite connect. The prime example being Maya versus Julia from I think 2021 in January, where like it's such a memorable match and everyone loved it, and then when you rewatch it's like, oh, that first half is so slow.
Yeah,
but this match does such a great job of making the first 10 minutes just kind of work so well. And I think part of it is these two are so legitimately believable as kind of mat technicians. And, you know, you can understand that they're both kind of like not scared of each other, but they respect each other's striking game so well that you're not just going to fly headlong into either one of their striking games. Shuri will kick your head off, and so will Iroha. So, like, you want to kind of, you know, play your game right, kind of wear the other person down and wait for the opening. But when you get to those final 10 minutes, it's like, well, you can't just wait out the final 10 minutes. Both of them need to win this match. You kind of feel like, although obviously Shuri didn't in the end. It's just, it's a well-crafted match between two of the best wrestlers in the world. Shuri, this is like, if you could take a wrestler from a point in time and say this is the best version of wrestling, you have an argument that Shuri in 2021 during this era is one of those best examples. You pluck her from this period, you can put her up against the mid 90s AJPW and all of that, and it works just as well. And Takumi Iroha, when she's on, and she's on during this period in the wrestling, and it's just, it was difficult for me to leave this off the list because it is fantastic. I'm not quiet in my love for Takumi Iroha, and her against Shuri is just masterful work. I'm glad to see this represented.
Yeah, I'll also add this. You have to understand the drama of that final night. For Shuri, it's either draw, I survive, win, and I'm in. For Takumi, it's win or I'm out. So you feel that in those last couple minutes when the drama really kicks in for these two. And I think that's kind of the beauty of these finals matches. Like, you just may see these two and think, oh, that must have been great. But take into account the drama, the fact of what that night ultimately turns out to be for Shuri, and you get a real appreciation for this match. So let's head to Trent's number four, which was Shuri versus Suzuki from the Five-Star Grand Prix 2023. Shuri's on this list a lot, folks.
What did I tell you? She wasn't going anywhere. You talk about the 2021 final being one of the great nights of wrestling for Stardom. This show, the opening night for the 2023 tournament, honestly was on track to, I don't necessarily want to say eclipse it, because like the importance of the final carries with it a certain weight. But if it wasn't for the unfortunate injury in the main event final between Saika Matani and Tam Nakano, this night could have been one of the like most perfectly executed nights in Stardom history. Because like the first half of the show with all the tournament matches were going great, then this match just turned it up another gear, and then everything that like it felt like everyone backstage that still had matches to go were kind of like, oh, we have to turn it up another gear. And now whether they managed to or not, you can debate. There might be matches on this, you know, on this list that we're doing that managed to do it or not. They might appear or not. Don't want to spoil it. But this match to me was just phenomenal. You've got Shuri, you know, we've said how great she is. And 2023, she's still bloody amazing. And then you just bring in Suzu Suzuki, who to me, like, you look at her body of work in the Five-Star Grand Prix, it feels like she's one of the best five-star performers we've had, because she's only been in a couple of them, but she just delivers every single time. So you've got two of the best five-star Grand Prix performers in history going head-to-head, and it felt like they went out there with a point to prove, and boy, did they prove it. This match is just fantastic. Yeah, as soon as it was announced, it's like, okay, this is right away. It feels like it's going to be one of the matches of the tournament, and it was. It went hard from the start, but it never kind of felt like it was trying to overextend itself. It made sense within the context of what these two were doing. The only kind of moment where you're like, oh, what are you two doing, was when Suzu German Germaned Shuri off the apron. Yeah. And you see May Sarah diving to try and catch her, and spoiler alert, she didn't. And Shuri just took the brunt of it on the floor. I think I said Sire because Suzu also did that to Sire, and no one caught her then either. Funny that. But yeah, this match was just constant in its sort of brutality. Mm-hmm. And it's funny watching this match after having watched a lot of the sort of older Stardom Five-Star Grand Prix matches. And as much as I love them, there's just a swift, like assassin-like execution quality to this match.
Yeah.
Between these two. It's just beautiful to behold. And unlike a lot of matches that I was weighing up, this match actually finishes with a result, which is also a nice bonus. I can't help it. Like, I do like definitive results, and that does hurt, like, your number five pick for me. It's like, oh, it's a draw. I like having a definitive result, and this one had a Shuri victory, which, yeah.
This would be my highest if 2023 made my list. Spoiler alert.
Mm.
But this was, like, the one that I look at, and I'm like, man, just, like, I think this is under, I legitimately think this match is overall underappreciated. Like, I think because it happened on the first night of the tournament, people can forget these things. And with all the chaos that came with that 2023 tournament, it was easy to forget. But I was looking back and I was like, what from 2023 would I consider putting on this list? It was this and like Tam and Mayu. That was about it. Like, those were the only two matches that I was like, maybe. I was like, and this one made the final cuts. This was on the short list, and I was like, the reason it doesn't make my list is just because, like, there's just certain other parts of it. This is, for me, this is the bombs match. Like, this was, it would have been kind of between the Shuri and Takumi thing.
Yeah,
I went with that story, but this is just a phenomenal match one of the best. I'm very happy it's on this card because I think, one, getting Suzu on here is deserving, and two, honestly, we could have just made a top five of Shuri five-star matches, and it would have been
easy. I literally did that in 2021 when I did my review of that year's tournament. I had to separate Shuri matches and everyone else's because I wanted to be fair to everyone else and give them a chance to shine. There's a lot of 2020. I actually think 2023, it's hampered by like the injuries and the drama surrounding it. Like that, this night that I'm talking about, I'll spoiler it because like I don't have other 2023, but the Mayu Hazuki match that comes straight this, phenomenal. And then you had Julius Sayori right after, which I was close to considering because of just the sheer brutality. I consider
that too. Yeah.
Azumi versus Utami at Kuroken Hall later in the tournament. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good match. And I think that's very underappreciated because it's just in the middle of the tournament. Yeah. And by then, I think people are kind of like, okay, yeah, we kind of know what's going on with the tournament and the fatigue was starting to set in, but that's a underappreciated match too. But nothing in that year matched what this did.
No, there's a lot. It's funny going back through the 2023 one because you're like, oh, I forgot how great that was. Oh, like, I really love Shuri and Natsupoi from that tournament as well. That's an incredibly told story where Natsupoi survives the 15 minutes. Mm. It felt like the launching point for where she is now. Spoiler, Shuri, good. But yeah, I think 2023 is always going to go down as such an interesting tournament to look at when it's all said and done because there's just such great wrestling within it, but it's forgotten by the end because of all the injury woes that really hurt that final week. It felt like you lost like every match on every show by the time you got to the final. It was like, let's see what we can.
Red Star's block started really strong and it felt like they kind of threw all their eggs in the basket early. And because you lost Sai Kamitani so early, it felt like a lot of her big matches were towards the end of the tournament, which then resulted in a lot of the big matches just not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Little did I know that was the last time I'd get babyface Sai Kamitani in a five-star Grand Prix, but I digress. Anyways, next match is my next match, and this is my number four. The finals of the 2022 five-star Grand Prix, that is Tam versus Julia, with Julia overcoming Tam in the end. You're gonna hear this a lot through my descriptions. A lot of my matches come down to the story that's being told. And this night, again, I want to give credit to the Suzu and Julia earlier in the night, which I was on the chopping block. I will not lie to you. It was there. I was like, I can't do it, but I side with the final. Because for me, I would have to say it's between this and the big one, the original big one that they had, the hair one. That's like, I think this is them at their best. This was just a violent race to win. That's what this was. And it was Julia overcoming the woman who set her back for so many years. It wasn't even months. It was years in terms of getting back to the top of stardom, something that everyone imagined she'd be at so much sooner. And obviously things have gone the way they have, and it's, you know, it didn't go the way it should have, I feel like, with Julia on top as world champion, and we know that. But this match and this run for Julia is so special to me and my fandom. It was the perfect end to a tournament that was just unbelievable. Like the 2022 tournament special, that final night is one of my favorite shows I've ever seen in my life. And this was why it concluded with these two doing what they do best. You know, forget the graps, forget figuring each other out. We're going to go out there and we're going to run through one another. We're going to slap the taste out of each other's mouths. We're going to drop each other on each other's heads as much as possible. It's a fantastic final. It's a fitting final, I think, for the story. And this will go down, I think, as Julia's greatest moment in stardom. It's not her greatest match because, listen, the Shuri match was her greatest match, I think. Julia had a lot of great matches, but I think that Shuri match for the title was... But this moment, the conclusion of this return to the top and this tournament where she fought her demons and, you know, brought back the ice ribbon aspect with Suzu Suzuki and then finally got over Tam again. It's just perfect for me. And when I look at this match and I watch it back, it's also like their fastest match, which is very beneficial because, you know, they like to do the over dramatic. This wasn't that. This was, again, I'm going to kill you. That's what we're doing. I'm going to kill you because I want to be the five-star winner. And I almost forget that Tam was in the finals of a five-star, which is very funny because, like, I just remember Julia, like, going to that tournament, remember? Like, I remember the entrance that Julia had, right? Coming down from the thing. It was like, oh, my God, this is the moment. Like, this is the moment. Tam had to be there to complete the story. So I appreciate her efforts in that. And I really wanted to get this match on there because I just fondly remember everything about that show, everything about this moment. And they beat the snot out of each other too. So that never hurts my ratings.
It's funny. They almost benefited by the fact they had to wrestle a match beforehand. And especially in Julia's case, she had a 15-minute draw. So, like, they had to expend a certain amount of energy, so they couldn't do quite the same amount of drawn-out dramatics beforehand because they love to, you know, pour on the drawn-out aspect. And it works for them, but it does set course a certain type of match, and this forced them to tell the same match but in a slightly different way. And I think that definitely benefited them. And I do agree that their two best matches are either this one or All-Star Dream Cinderella. Always have to pause and remind myself what that show is
called. I'm happy it was you.
I always want to chuck Queendom on it, but it's not Queendom back then. It was Cinderella. I love the Cinderella nickname for that time. But yeah, it's those two matches for me. And this one definitely, I think, because you had that little bit extra story behind it with, as you said, Julia lost the hair. And it's basically a year and a half since she lost the hair, lost that kind of momentum. She had to build it back. She had the five-star Grand Prix ripped out from underneath her the year before due to injury, and she'd finally built herself back up to this moment. Yeah, clawed her way into the final with that draw with Suzu and then found herself with Tam of all people. And you're right, like, the whole tournament had been about Julia, and it's kind of funny that, yeah, Tam was there, but it was all about Julia. And, you know, the match is just a fantastic story of, you know, of course it had to be Tam that Julia had to conquer to get to that moment, to get to Shura in the end. The match is fantastic. It sort of finishes off that incredible two-year stretch of five-star Grand Prix tournaments. And there's a reason why when 2023 came around, like, just the buzz was so electric for the tournament because of what would come before it. You know, this incredible two-year run of tournaments with, you know, not just the finals, but everything building up to it. And the heights were so high that even if injuries and the cursed run of that tournament didn't happen, it would have been difficult for that year to matched up to it just in of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I think you can really look at that. Well, I like to look at Queendom because of Julia versus Shuri. That was like that was the capper on just an incredible two-year run that this company had. But even if you wanted to say it was here, like this moment, her standing on top, and because then, you know, she's going to go on to win the title. I think you could even say that because it was just such a incredible run for Stardom. But our next match here is number three for Trent and myself. We have our first double match. And that is Mayu Iwatani versus Momo Watanabe from the five-star Grand Prix 2021. It is classic. It is amazing. This match, I think back to it all the time when I want to get in my sad mind of what Momo once was. I also think back of it all the time because these two have had so many great matches. Like, they're just, like, the easiest duo to put in a match in Stardom. All right, let's go have a banger, you know, come back, right? You've seen it for titles. You've seen it in tournaments. You've seen it all the time. And this year we're gratefully getting another one. But I watched this match, and I just, like, this is what tournament wrestling is supposed to be. the drama, the excitement, bringing out the new finish, night one for Momo. These two killed it. Absolutely killed it. I just remember like watching this match and I was like, that was everything. And at the time, these were my two favorite wrestlers. So like that didn't hurt either. But I'm happy I wasn't alone putting this on my list at number three.
These two have fought 8 times in the past. This is their best match together. And that's some high praise because they've had some tremendous matches together in the past. But this is like people were wanting to see Momo at this point in time. Like people remembered how good Momo was and they wanted to see that fire return in Momo. And this match, like that fire had returned. There was something electric about her. She debuted a new finishing move, but like everything that she was doing in this match reminded people why in 2018 and 2019 she was the future ace of the company, why they put the white belt on her, and why everyone was like, she's the heir apparent. This is why EO basically said to her, go lead the company into the future. Because what she was doing in the ring against Mayu was nothing short of tremendous. And then, of course, you've got Mayu Iwatani. Now, if you've been listening to anything either one of us has ever produced, podcast form, video form, written form, you don't need us to say anything more. She's the GOAT. She's the best. So this, it's just phenomenal match. I remember like when I was initially writing out, okay, what matches do I think are going to be on this list? I remember having this on the short list. I thought, I feel like it's probably going to be 4 or 5. I don't think it's going to be top 3. And I rewatched it, and I'm about halfway through. I'm like, am I forgetting how good this was? Because I'm halfway through, and I'm like, this is better than Suzu versus Shuri. I'm like, I know it's better than versus Kagetsu versus Hana. And then, like, I'm halfway through, I'm like, I know this like turns up a gear because the first half is good, but like, these two turn up again. This match just keeps going, keeps getting better and more electric. And I'm like, okay, well, I forgot your game. This is a top 3 match. And like, I was nearly considering putting it second. Yeah. I'm happy with it at number 3, but like, this match is just like one of those perfect matches that if you just need to show someone how good Stardom can be on several levels, from an athletic standpoint, from just like a match storytelling standpoint, and just from like a these women hit hard, if you want to believe that they want to hurt each other and just like crispness of wrestling, you can charm this match. And the beautiful thing is, I want to see more from these two. Great, because they're going to be wrestling again in like 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, at Corrigan Hall of all places.
Momo's going to look a little different. She's probably going to be, using a baseball bat, but.
Yeah, they still turn it on when they feel like it. That's the thing about these two. They can do that whenever they want.
Momo's 3-1 in 5-star Grand Prix against Maya, by the way.
Wouldn't be shocked if it goes to 4-1. Just based off that block and Mayu needing to lose once in a while. I look back at this match and I think of all the 5-star Grand Prix matches I've watched, and I'm like, is this the best match that has like no super in-depth story to it, or it's on the final night that the tournament has produced? And I'm like, in terms of like just an overall wrestling match, like just take all the outside stuff out of it, it's one of the best in Stardom's history. Like just in terms of the wrestling. And I think with the 5-star Grand Prix, some matches are better because of the story that they're telling and the drama of it. This didn't need that. This was for 2 points on the opening day. And they just,
it was important for reestablishing Momo.
Absolutely.
Over the course of this tournament, because I think, you see her make the final of this year's tournament, the 2021 tournament. And I think you needed to see how serious she was to win it. And this was kind of a renewed Momo Watanabe. And like chucking her up against Mayu where she can really just unleash and do what she did here, it made everyone wake up and go, oh, okay, this is the Momo we wanted to see. And suddenly you believe her getting back to the promised land, so to speak.
I greatly miss that Momo. Every day I miss that Momo. And I think I'm going to be missing Momo again soon here. But let's go to your number two. Your number two was, of course, Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani from the 2015 five-star Grand Prix.
Yeah, but winding the clock back a bit, this is not a recent five-star Grand Prix. So much so that we don't have like the graphics available for it.
Yeah, the graphic was in the image. I was happy about that. Made my day, actually. But, I was like, yes!
Yeah. On the surface, probably not surprising. Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani. They had a five-star Grand Prix match. Are we surprised it's a top five five-star Grand Prix match? Probably not. But, like, this was one of the ones, again, like, when I was making my list, I'm like, I remember this being really good. And I'm like, but is this, a biased thing? Is this a thing of the heart? Because to give you some context, this was one of the very first matches I ever saw from Stardom.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got into Stardom, I remember just hearing about and then trying to find any matches I could from Mayu of Io and Kairi. So when I stumbled upon this match, and I didn't know what the five-star Grand Prix was. I didn't even know it was a tournament match. I just saw Mayu and I saw Io. I'm like, great, cool, I'm going to watch it. Spoiler alert, this match ends in a draw. And it's kind of one of those draws where it's like Mayu goes for a pinfall and they're counting to three and what happens is Io kicks out. I think they probably botched the finish a little bit. She has to kick out of a poison Rana, and then the bell rings just after the kick out. I think probably the bell was meant to ring during the pinfall account. I remember watching it for the first time. I'm confused. Like, did she win? Was this a draw? I couldn't quite work it out. But I remember absolutely adoring this match. So much so that I had to, like, find this match and save it. And I'm glad I did, because you can't really find this match anymore. It's a bloody difficult match to find. It's not on Stardom Well. So what I've done for all of you people listening, for all of you people watching, if you want to watch this match, I've gone and uploaded it to I've uploaded it to Stardom Well. I wish I had that power. I've uploaded it to YouTube. So if you search Mayu Iwatani versus Io Shirai 2015, you can find it on YouTube. You can watch it for yourself. It's a 15-minute classic. And I want to make a point when I say this. This wasn't bias. This isn't me going, oh, I remember back in the day, this is what got me into Stardom. No, this is a legitimate banger and a half. I put this above their 2017 match. It's that good. It's on par with their first 2016 match. It doesn't have the story of the three matches that they had for the World Championship. And obviously, Mayu Iwatani's not quite as good as she was the next year. But there's not that much time difference between here in August and then when she first challenges for the title in May. So you're getting a pretty much there, Mayu Iwatani, versus obviously Io Shirai, you know, just about her best. These two go out there for 15 minutes and just go ham on each other. It's one of their first chances to really do it, especially now they're at the levels where they can properly fight each other the way they do. And it's just a masterclass. And Kurikan Hall is hot for it, as you would expect. It's just beautiful. It's magical. And yeah, now if you've never had the chance to watch it, I presume it won't get taken down because you can't watch it any other way legally. So go onto YouTube, search Mayu Iwatani versus Io Shirai 2015. Currently has zero views, shock horror, because I just uploaded it like 2-3 hours before we started recording this. Go and watch it. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. You know, I know you just wanted to get EO on here. Like, you just say that. You know, like, I just know you wanted to get EO on the list, which, you know, I respect because she deserves to be on this list. In all seriousness, we've talked about Mayu and EO so many times in the past couple episodes. So it's just like, why not one more? And then deservedly so. Why not one more?
Again, this was a match I thought, okay, with my personal bias, it's probably at 4 because it's 2015. It's probably not going to be. But then, like, as I was watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, it's 2015. They're not to the level they would get to. but they get like a rivalry bonus because they're best friends. And it's like they always go extra hard at each other. And it is legitimately like I was watching it, I'm like, oh crap, yeah, no, this is so much better than I even remember when I first started getting into it, because I can appreciate who I'm watching. It's not just these women can go hard at each other, and they can do things that I didn't think women could do, because I just remember women being divas in wrestling, and it's just two of the best in the world doing just incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's a match where I think if you watch it, especially at the time you watch it, your eyes are probably like, what have I been missing all this time? You know, it's that kind of thing. And obviously we've talked about 2015 and 2016 and 2017. Io was on another world, another universe at that time. So you can imagine the effort she's putting in here. And, you know, obviously she's on her way to being at the top of stardom again, as you'd expect, because of course she is. But I think this match is very important. If you want to further appreciate their story, it's just like an added bonus. It's like, see it before the trilogy, you know, like that kind of thing. Like you said, it does get the added bonus of them being best friends. And I think added bonuses are always very important with matches. And my number two, I don't think there's anyone on this world that loves this match as much as I do. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. And I've accepted that when the match was over. And that, of course, is Mayu Iwatani versus Starlight Kid from the 2022 five-star Grand Prix. Added bonuses are very important, Trent. This match had an added bonus for me. When I watched these two step in the ring, gone is the Oedo Tai shenanigans, and it's a Starlight Kid that is trying to prove herself against the one woman she wants to reach. She wants to reach the level of Mayu Iwatani. And everyone knows how devastated I was when I didn't get the follow-up last year. And I'm not getting it this year. I'm getting kind of upset about it. Now they're just pushing it off. And, you know, we might get to a point where I may never see it again. So that's besides the point. That being said, I love this match because this match is about Starlight Kid trying to prove herself to Mayu. The year before, she's fresh into a Oedo Tai. She's snarky. She's young. She just thinks she can do what she wants. And Mayu almost kind of embarrasses her in a way. It's not pure embarrassment, but it's to the point where it's like, all right, move on. Like, you're not at my level yet. Fast forward 1 year later, Starlight Kid accomplishes a lot since then. She had the high-speed title run. She had the tag, the tags with Momo, sorry, draw a blank here, getting late. She had done so much. The artist reign as well, which was a great reign. She had done so many things. She had challenged for so many titles. She challenged for the Wonder. She had really climbed up. And you saw her in this tournament, right, with the Julia match, obviously stand up to Julia. She had a great run. But every time we get to that final night and it's Mayu versus Starlight Kid, I get myself excited because it's a continued story. Every single match they have is a story that follows the last one. It doesn't matter how long it's been since they had the match. It doesn't matter what's happened for each of them since they had the match. That story is continuing. And Starlight Kid stepped in that ring and showed to Mayu Iwatani that she was that much better. She was that much closer. You got to remember, she had learned the leg crusher recently. She utilizes that in this match to perfection. And Mayu Iwatani is the best in the world for a reason. There is no one that makes you believe she might be out better than Mayu Iwatani. I remember her having that leg crusher in, and Mayu Iwatani doesn't tap, but you have to remember earlier in the year, what did Mayu Iwatani lose to against Shuri in a finish that I still am angry about to this day? What's the name of the move? Stretch muffler? Is that the name of the move?
Yeah, it's the stretch muffler. Yeah.
She lost to that. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, they're not going to give the Starlight Kid win now. And I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. They made this move very important. Break down the leg of Mayu. And once Mayu gets to that rope, you see her flip the switch. You see Mayu go from, okay, I'm your teacher, I'm going to see what you have now, to, oh, I got to finish you off. Like, that's enough. And that's exactly what she does. I did the similar thing, because I didn't need to watch the rest of them. I know where these place, but this match, I've always known I am higher on than probably everyone that's ever watched it. And it's probably because I just care about the story way too much, and that's okay. But I rewatched it, and I found myself getting invested all over again, as if I was watching it for the first time. I watched Starlight Kid try and prove herself, and by the end of it, she feels like she's just not ready yet. And through a Wato Tai, she was thinking she was getting to that level. She had the confidence going into that match, and she just couldn't put Mayu away. Neither of these two were even in the conversation for the tournament anymore. This was about them, and I think that's why I love it so much. The tournament had nothing to do with this. This was the chance for them to tell their story, and I'm just upset that it's not happening anytime soon. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. It's a story that's so perfect, though, that it should have its eventual end, whether Mayu moves on, whether Kid does whatever she wants. Like, it needs its eventual end before whatever happens. If Mayu were to leave Stardom next year, she should lose to Starlight Kid on the way out. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because if Starlight Kid's staying, that's the most important story for her to finish, not the Tam story. No offense to, and I think she's gonna finish that story before she would leave anyways. But to me, it's the Starlight Kid win, because for a lot of people, myself included, it feels like Starlight Kid finally getting that big title doesn't happen until she could truly beat Mayu. She may get the title before that, but it feels like it can't happen. And that's the beauty of this story. That's the beauty of this match. It just showed she wasn't ready yet. Little did I know that 2023 would be a year off for Starlight Kid, as we talked about earlier this year. But I love this match. I love the story that's told. Story goes a long way for me in these tournament matches, and they always go an even longer way when it comes to Mayu Iwatani.
This is one of those matches where the story itself, obviously, if you follow it as intently as we do, is that much stronger for us, because you've got the years of backstory, and even just like from year to year, 2021 going to 2022. But like, if you don't really know the story, you can kind of piece it together watching the match itself. Mm-hmm. It plays out pretty clearly over the course of the match. And just, the use of the leg crusher, the submission kind of work, and then Mayu just flicking the switch. It's a simple story, but it's executed so well. And that's the beauty of that kind of storytelling, is you don't need to overly complicate things. You've got a very simple student versus trainer kind of story arc here, and you wrap it up with just phenomenal wrestlers doing phenomenal wrestling and two people at the top of their craft. Like, Mayu being so good at both bumping, but particularly selling. And, when she's in that kind of submission finisher or just submission hold, she's so good at making it look like she's in serious trouble. And so you're buying that kind of move has kind of caught her off guard, and it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Who taught this to her? Because I didn't. Mayu's not a submission specialist unless she's working with someone as small as Kid that she can use that dragon sleeper on. But it's wonderful because, Starlight Kid for years has kind of been just chasing Mayu. And this was the first year where it felt like, oh, she's close.
Yeah.
Now, 2021, she was dominating the tournament, but it kind of felt like she was an upstart surprising everyone. 2022 finally felt like she was not equal with Mayu, but she was getting there. And so that's, again, as you said, like, they didn't have a horse in the race in terms of like trying to make the finals. But, when you have storytelling interwoven through these tournaments, that's how you make the final night matter. Even when matches don't have implications, they can still have meaning. Mm-hmm. And that's how you craft these kind of nights well. Even when not every match has that final night, points implication, they're still must watch. There's no toilet breaks on these final night shows, because you've got a match like this that's been perfectly built up over years, and then the match itself delivers as well as it does.
This show is one of the most insane shows I've ever watched. Before we just get to our honorable mentions and ones, this is kind of the start of our honorable mentions here. This show had Hazuki and Momo, which was great. had this match after. Julia and Suzu Suzuki after. Mm-hmm. The first Micah and Himeka match, where they just ran into each other as hard as humanly possible. You also had Shuri and Risa Sarah on there, and you had, of course, the Tam-Julia final. That was all one show.
Yeah.
Unfair what that final was. What are some of your honorable mentions that haven't been talked about here today that you just like to give the respect to, the love to? Because I think there's a long list. We'll try to limit it a little bit, but there was a lot of matches I thought of. I was like, oh, I love that match. It's not top five. Oh, but I love that match, you know, that kind of thing.
So I'm going to be careful here because I could go for a long time. I want to show a lot of love in general to 2019 because obviously we've talked a lot about 2021, 2022, and I've kind of mentioned a little bit about the ones I loved about 2023. But 29 had a lot of matches that I really wanted to try and put in.
Yeah.
There was a few from like the final night. We had Arisa Hoshiki versus Kagetsu, which was a fantastic match. You had Hana Kimura versus Hazuki, which was a really good match and really overshadowed the final of that night, Hana versus Kanami. And I tried so hard to get Kagetsu versus Jungle Kiona in the top five. Because I really love that match, and for obvious reasons, they're two of my favorites. But it was just outside the top five for me. But that is a phenomenal match and kind of fits the bill where you got two just great wrestlers going ham, and it featured both of them just kind of at their strengths doing the best things. And those two always had great chemistry. But yeah, 2019 is one of those years where it just had a lot of really, really good matches that would feature in this kind of list if it wasn't for just the sheer strength of the later years of the tournament, where it's just you had arguably just probably more consistently deep matches across the board. But if you're looking for kind of pre-Bushiroad, and technically that is Bushiroad era in a way, but before they officially take over, you've just got that depth of talent, but a lot of wrestlers that you don't see in current day stardom. Go back and watch some of those tournament matches because there's so much good stuff. Yeah. You get Oeda, Tai Hazuki, Kagetsu, Risa Hoshiki. You get that kind of early Tam where she's just starting to piece it together. She's a little bit sketchy at times, but you're seeing it all start to come together. You're seeing that, Mayu Iwatani, where she's still doing that amazing stuff. Best version of Konami for me, best version of Jungle Kiona. That's just the best version of Momo Watanabe. It's just, the best version of stardom for a lot of people just before they kind of go big in that era of Bushiroad. There was so much good stuff happening around that time. So my honorable mentions is kind of cheating. It's just 2019.
Yeah, to shout out a 2019 match, I love Hana versus Momo Watanabe in that tournament.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite tournament matches. I've talked about it on this show. I've talked about it on a million shows. I love Hana's entire run.
Mm.
When you focus on the winner and the story that is told along the way, Hana's is one of the best. It includes it includes being super confident. It includes being shocked. It includes having to go in there in must wins against Mayu Iwatani and Momo Watanabe back to back, which at the time is like the ultimate gauntlet of back to backs that you'll see in stardom. That Momo match is fantastic. It's one of my favorite Hana matches. Hana really hit her stride in that tournament. You see it in the Julia match later that year, and you see it in the B match, which she challenges for that belt, and that is one I love. But so 2019 is a great shout. Another one that I have, I talked about it earlier, but Shuri and Natsupoi from last year, I like to focus a lot on these story matches. And that is one that's a really beautiful story for Natsupoi in her career. And you see it in the post-match, how much that meant to her of not losing. It wasn't about necessarily winning or surviving, but proving that she is on the level that Shuri has so long been at in stardom, right? Shuri is the highest level in that company. And if you can show that you can hang, you deserve all the respect in the world. And not only did Natsu Poi hang, she almost won. You know, it's just like, it's such a great match. It's such a great match. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm getting my Shuri list here going. It's only fair that we just get a Shuri list going. But one match I did want to add, which I know you love. 2022. Cork and Hall main event.
You're going to mention my Suzu versus Mirai match, are you?
Of course I am. I wanted to lead you right into
it. The match I overrate more than any other match.
Yes, I wanted to
bring I'm nearly going to put it on this list just for a laugh.
It's so good. It is. I think it's Mirai's best Stardom match. Yeah. Well, best match overall, but I think it's the Mirai we see today in the fullest form. I think that's the most Mirai we ever saw in Stardom is that match against Suzu. Her and Suzu just clicked perfectly.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal match. Another one I wanted to put on the list, but like it's just I would have had to have dropped Hana versus Getsu. Bell to Bell, it's probably a better match. Sure. But it doesn't mean as much to me.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I just wanted to bring it up.
Sure.
I guess my last one I'll bring up, because it's another that I just love probably more than most people, is Julia versus Suzuki from the opening night of the 2022 Five-Star Grand Prix.
Mm.
That was the ultimate maximize your minute, have a crazy freaking match. You remember their history. Obviously, the last time they went one-on-one, it was not like that at all. Suzuki wanted, obviously, out of the company. She's talking about how she has to lose to Julia first. You know, all this nastiness. And then you see them go out here. And I just remember screaming, Brain Buster, when Suzuki won. It was the greatest thing. And obviously, it started that great Suzuki run to start that tournament. Just an awesome match. There's so many awesome matches though through the history. I don't think there's any wrong choices for most of your top five. However, there's only one choice for number one.
Or else anyways.
No, there's only one choice for number one. It's the greatest final in the history of Stardom. It's one of the greatest matches in the history of Stardom. It is everything you want in a tournament final, and that of course is Momo Watanabe versus Shuri in the Five-Star Grand Prix Final 2021. As I talked about, as you talked about earlier with the Momo Mayu match, this was about building her up, right? Momo getting back to the highest point. Obviously, they turned her later that year, so whoop-de-doo. But in this tournament, Momo returned to form, if not her greatest form. This tournament was a superstar performance with this match being truly phenomenal. And it's the only match I think we can ever talk about where someone doesn't wrestle earlier in the night and they are going against someone that wrestled for 20 minutes after an absolute slugfest. And no one's going to bat an eye if they lose, because that's who Shuri was in 2021. You have to all remember that. Momo was supposed to wrestle on that final night. Julia got injured, so that match was canceled. She wrestled in a three-way with the sisters, which didn't matter. She had no part of it.
And lost.
She didn't even win. It was like maybe 4 minutes long. She didn't do nothing. She had to watch Shuri wrestle for 20 minutes against Takumi Iroha. And this was also the year that they did the backstage videos of both of them getting ready. Oh, my God. Mm. It's the greatest thing ever. You just get hyped for that match. And then they go out there and they do the damn thing. I talked about how I love the Tam Julie match because they went out there and just threw bombs and it was about winning. This is that times a million. Like, that is what this match is. You watch it at any time. You show it to anyone. It is pro wrestling greatness in there. This is a match that I can't recommend enough. I loved it. And it was one of those matches where I remember at the time, people obviously love Momo. They love her so much. Her winning would have been so right because, you know, getting back to the top. But Shuri was undeniable. and you felt it through the entire tournament. You felt it on that night with Takumi. She wasn't going into that final to lose. And they had an incredible match, completing what I thought is the best night I've ever seen from a wrestler, having two unbelievable matches back to back, with this being bona fide five stars, whatever you want to call it. It's just phenomenal.
It speaks to how good Shuri was during this time, because the Momo fan base out west is pretty opinionated. Especially around this era. I think by 2024, they've been beat into the dirt enough. Sitting with the Kiona fans have accepted their fate. But in 2021, they were still, they believed. For better or worse, they believed. So for them to get their girl into the finals, she hadn't wrestled. She had a match. She hadn't wrestled in the night before that night. The other person wrestled a 20-minute match, had her ass kicked literally right before the final. She didn't get any time to rest. And then going to this match, for Momo to lose and no one to have an issue with it, I think speaks to, A, how good the match was, B, for just how great Shuri was and how believable she was in this position, and just how perfectly the tournament had set her up in this position. Because I know going into the tournament, everyone kind of thought, oh, it's going to be Julia's winning this tournament. Like, that was the common feeling. But then, of course, we were still riding the high of Itami Shuri. So when Julia got injured and they pivoted to Shuri, it felt so natural, to the point now where, like, the thought that Julia was meant to win in 2021 just seems ludicrous, because it was so perfect in 2022, as you alluded to in your number three pick. This match is, like, just so utterly perfect. And you talk about you can show this match to anyone. I did. I've shown this match to a group of wrestling fans who hadn't really watched Stardom before. And they're like, we're curious. We've been hearing things about Stardom. And this wasn't that long after this match. I'm like, I've got a match to show you. Come on in. Like, I showed this match to them. And by the end of it, we're on voice chat. We're watching. And they were, I'm nervous showing Stardom. It's the first time I've really done this kind of thing. And, like, just hearing them get amped for it as well. And they were, rising at the moment. They should be rising, so to speak. And it's just like, this is working. And by the end of it, they were like, okay, we want more Stardom. Show us more Stardom. How do we get into this? How do we get on board? And it's like, that to me is like the simplest expression of how good is this match. A bunch of people who didn't really know the story, they just know there's two people wrestling in a tournament final, can just be sucked in by just the electricity of this match, because that's what this is. It's an electric match. Two phenomenal strikers. You don't need to watch the show beforehand. It's a fantastic show. Shuri versus Takumi is a phenomenal match. The whole show prior, you had Itami versus Tam Nakano. I think that's a match that's unfairly forgotten, how great that match was. There's a bunch of great matches on this show, but this match just, like, every time I watch it, and I've watched it several times since, because it's just, sometimes you just need like an old faithful that you can chuck on and just know that you're just going to be smiling throughout. And this is just one of those matches that delivers on every front. It's just, it doesn't falter at any point. There's no real dips in like electricity. There's no awkward moments. It's just kind of artistry at its best when it comes to professional wrestling. Two people that went out there on a mission and just nailed it at every point. This is best five-star Grand Prix matches. If we're talking best Stardom matches, it's at the very least on the short list as well.
I, as a Stardom live viewer, I have had the feeling of I'm witnessing something special three times. Three times.
Julia versus Shuri, this match, and
Shuri and Itami. The big one.
Of course.
Which brings me to the point that any other year, this would have been easily my match of the year. This just happened to be the same year as Itami and Shuri, which is just, it's a completely different match, but it speaks to the world that Shuri was on that year, that no one came close to. As you said, you had to make a list of top Shuri matches because it was so unfair in that tournament. A tournament, mind you, that had fantastic matches throughout the tournament from all these other wrestlers.
They if just the other sure. people hadn't delivered, I wouldn't have bothered. But they deserve the spotlight.
They deserve a spotlight. They just weren't Shuri. And that is the beauty of what she was in that year. And it's just incredible to think back to. I think out of, like, I've watched a lot of wrestling in my life. A lot. You have too. This is probably one
not
of the
easiest. Not as much, but.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't count the hours. You never know. It could be equal. But I don't know. Shut up. This is not the point. You're ruining my point. I think this is one of the most rewatchable matches I've ever seen. And I think some matches are so hard to rewatch because either it was in the moment of greatness or even so you're like, I don't know if that's going to hold up. This match, I know is going to hold up. It's 18 minutes of unbelievable strikes, action, nonstop. And the fact that they went at this pace after Shuri had wrestled 20 minutes, not even like, you know, they had the Tam and Tommy match wedged in the middle of this, which I think you're right. I think this is like, I don't know if Stardom's ever had a three-match run, like Takumi and Shuri, Tam and Utami, and then this, like that is as good as it gets. And the fact that Shuri did two of them in an hour is unbelievable. But she was undeniable in this tournament. Like you said, I think the best way to give this compliment is that no one could fight it. No one could fight her winning this match, despite all the circumstance, despite the many Momo fans, despite all these things working against Shuri in a way for fans. It didn't matter because it had to happen. What a match. What a fun run we just had here, huh? A lot of Shuri. Shuri had four matches on our top five each. Well, two each. Two each?
Yeah.
Two each. Two each.
Two just... each. Yeah, we had more. One that matched and one that was different.
I almost jokingly did all Shuri matches. It would have been a lie.
I mean, it would have been believable.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I didn't want to lie, but like, I was like,
yeah,
I don't know. I made a list and I was like, would anyone argue with this? No.
The thing is, you could have very easily put more Shuri in here without it like being an issue. And then it would have been like, if you got to three or four, like if you got to four, it would have been like, you got to commit to the bit.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. But if you get to three, it becomes like, oh, this is kind of awkward.
Yeah. Because there's a Shuri Tam match from the 2021 5-star that I absolutely adore. It's the most non-Tam match I've ever seen. And when I say that, it's like she went out there to do the Shuri match, and it's like it kind of mirrors the Arisa version of Tam without the story part. It's just the bombs and the craziness, and yeah, I could have made a list for Shuri, and maybe someday we will. We'll just make Shuri's top 10.
You could nearly put the Utami match from 2022.
Yes,
if it's that was not also overshadowed by the other Utami matches. Yeah,
it's unbelievable what Shuri did in that 2-year span, really. But that's it here for the Stardom Road podcast. Hope everyone enjoyed going through our best matches. I did want to leave an idea. If you want to know where to find these matches, it's pretty simple. Thankfully, most of them are on Stardom World. This is on Stardom World. This is on Stardom World. This is on Stardom World. This is, wait a minute, this is an audio podcast. I have to say this out loud. Hana Kimura versus Kagetsu from the 2017 5-star Grand Prix is on Stardom World. Shuri versus Takumi Aroha from the 5-star Grand Prix 2021 is on Stardom World. Shuri versus Suzu Suzuki from the 5-star Grand Prix 2023 is on Stardom World. Mayu Iwatani versus Momo Watanabe from the 5-star Grand Prix 2021 is on Stardom World. The finals of the 5-star Grand Prix 2022 between Tam and Julia is on Stardom World. Have fun finding it, though. It's very hard because you got to like type in just 5-star Grand Prix because they don't give away the finals. So just
which is nice of them.
It is. It is. But, like, you know, I'd like to find it easier.
It is funny how they sometimes spoil things they sometimes don't.
Yes. So the
sad news. This is not on Star. EO versus Mayu Iwatani from the 2015 five-star Grand Prix is not on Star World, but it is on YouTube. Thank you, Trent. So thank you for that. Mayu Iwatani versus Starlight Kid from the five-star Grand Prix 2022 is on Stardom World. And then, of course, the finals of the 2021 five-star Grand Prix between Momo Watanabe and Shuri is on Star World. Same thing that goes for the Julia Tam thing. It's not listed, so don't type in Momo Shuri. Just type in five-star 2021, and you'll find it.
Yeah. And all of the honorable mentions we gave are all on Stardom World as well.
Ah, yes. Good job.
We're not going to list each of those individually.
No, we're not, because I don't remember a single one. That's why they were honorable mentions. They weren't locked in. But Trent,
every 2019 match, we'll go through those individually. Is on Star World.
That was already tiring for me. But Trent, hit him with the plugs before we get out of here.
So you can find me on Twitter/X at OneUpCulture. I did a 5-star guide/preview over at RazuraMag.com, which has all 28 wrestlers, I did write previews for the ones who then decided to drop out after they were announced. Thank you, Natsu Katora. That's not up on the website. But I've got a full write-up preview for each wrestler in the tournament. I've got the full schedule. I've got the singles records and the best performances for the years, all those kind of stats and facts up on the website. So dive into that. It's a long boy, probably the most I've had to work on a single individual piece, because in part everyone decided to go and change their allegiances and change their faction names the day before I was releasing the damn article. I hate that. I don't know what I'll be doing for the five-star Grand Prix in terms of content. I've been thinking of doing stuff. I've been thinking of being lazy. You'll find out when I find out.
Peek behind the curtain. Let's just say the rendezvous shows were a hell of an experience for Trent. because this poor guy, my God, like the hate thing happened. They all turned.
Changes.
I think it started with Konami earlier in the week. That was the first shift for Trent.
Yeah.
And then we had title changes.
Some I was prepared for. Some I was not.
No. Then you had the hate change, which is like, okay, we gotta get Saya Kamatani switched. Okay, fine, sure. And then the last bomb, when Trent was all ready to pass it in and move on. Oh, yeah, Natsuka Tora, not in the tournament anymore. Have fun writing something up for Ruaka.
Yeah.
I did feel very bad for you. I'm grateful I did my usual guide a week after because I could just talk about hate instead of hate that I had to redo it. I can experience hate all I want.
Wanting to get it out before everyone else.
Yeah.
Which I think I did.
Absolutely did. I haven't seen another one to begin with, so besides yours, so I think you did it. But it's a good read through.
No.
My favorite description is Trent writing about Anna Jay personally.
hey, my AEW experience came in clutch.
Yeah, it sure did. But yeah, make sure you go check that out, resurrectmag.com, right? It's not com. Okay. resurrectmag.com. You can check out that now. Okay, I got a lot of plugs here. Just put in the
fill up that bathtub.
Yeah, so my guide should be out by the time this is out. It is very different from Trent's. That's on purpose. I like that he covers all the wrestlers, he covers the records and things like that. That's great, because I can play to that. I can play, okay, here's some favorites, here's some dark horses, here's your schedule, here's your blocks, here's the format. Like, I can do the very basic stuff, and it works out for me. Here's some matches to look out for. Here's some stats and tricks and winners. Like, I can do the basic stuff. If you want breakdown of each and every wrestler, you go to Trent's. If you want
some basics and just like favorites and hate. I talked a lot about hate. But ultimately, the five-star Grand Prix is a wonderful thing. It's the best time of the year. Check with me after August 31st if I'm still saying that. I might not be because it's going to be a lot over the next month. But it is the best time of the year. Also, my five-star Grand Prix audio is out now. Fight Game Media Network. Anywhere you get your podcasts, also over on YouTube on their YouTube channel, Five Star Joshi Show. Previewed that, went through all the blocks, talked about potential, finishers in terms of the eight that will advance and the semifinals and the finalists and so on. It's a lot this year, okay? This tournament is a lot. I am already tired. The fact that we're doing the big eight match in Shinjuku Face pops me in a very big way. Like, just looking at them, like, oh my god, we might get like this gigantic match in Shinjuku Face. I think that's very funny. It's, I don't know what they're doing, and like, they didn't book where's Micah and his Fukuoka. They didn't book that for this tour. I'm like, you have Micah and Hazuki in the same block, and you think, oh, you know what? Maybe we should book there and do that match. Whatever. That's just me. But that's up now. This Friday, I've realized I do not like myself. I do not like time. I do not like having time. I have joined another podcast because that's what I do to myself. But that one will run sporadically. It is not always going to be every week. It is based off need, not having to just do it to do it. Yeah, it is the Gold Star Podcast on the Wrestle Purist Network that is covering Joshi and Against My Will Puro. Let's just say I only asked for Joshi. We reached an agreement. Gold Star can kind of give you the direction we're mostly going for here, and that is Joshi. The Golden Gardens will be covered heavily over there. I'll just say that. That's Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk everything going on. The G1's going on. A little bit of five-star preview if you somehow need another one from me. But Jamie and Six Star, they're great. Listen to it for them. I'm just there to, I don't know, do what I do, I guess. It's a podcast I don't actually have to like host, so it's okay. I'm good at those. I say yes to those all the time because it's like, oh, you just want to sit down and talk from, never mind. So that's coming up. And I made the stupid decision to cover every five-star Grand Prix show. I also have to review, writing-wise, five of them for Voice of the Wrestling. This is going to be a hell of a month for me. But if you want to check out those reviews, that'll be on my YouTube channel, Scott E. Wrestling. It'll be simple, 10 to 20 minutes, not too long. I can only say so much about Ruaka. If that interests you, if you need someone to review it, that'll be that. I'll have guests from time to time as well, just for fun, because doing 12 of those will be hell. You know what's funny? This is funny. The only night that I can't watch like quickly is the final night. Like that day, I am so busy with like real life annual things that I always do. So that's a later problem. But that's it. We will be back in September. We don't know the official date yet. September 3rd feels way too soon. That's right after the finals. It's like
it kind of defeats the point of us being able to prepare stuff like what we were talking about. Like we want to be able to prepare stuff. We won't really have time to prepare given the final is 3 days before.
No. And the Mari Gold tournament also starts that weekend. So that's just so much. So we'll probably be back the 10th or 17th. We don't know yet, but we'll be back in September. So thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate you listening. And until next time, see ya.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.